country, we meet many different groups, many different types of people, many different types of operations, everybody trying to serve God in his own revelation. And we feel very blessed by being in your midst. We feel blessed because of the simplicity of your approach to God, because of your spiritual awareness of something out there, and your youthful grasping after this thing. If some Christians are just willing to sit down and take it easy and say, we got it made. And some people, you could preach to them that you are it, you're the greatest, you got it, you're the heir. And it seems to me that this group is very spiritually intelligent. Now, I noticed that intelligence doesn't necessarily mean spiritual intelligence. For I've met professors with high mathematical brains, geniuses, and they couldn't put two and two together in Jesus. Amen. They were dumb, just spiritually dumb, yet worldly aware. And I'm thanking God for people like you who don't seem to be going after the things of the world, who don't seem to want the things of the world, who seem to want something else reaching out there. May God help you to keep on reaching out. When you stop, you'll fail God. See, there is an army that is marching. This army has been raised up from the dry bones in the valley. Blessed be the God Almighty. I look at this chapter 22 of Matthew. Let us look at it. And look at 14 of Luke. They coincide. God calling a people, and the people too busy to hear him. They have been involved with worldly things, some involved with spiritual things, but the spiritual things become the end instead of the means to an end. Follow me? And you could take the church business, for instance, and make a god out of it, and you get into the form of it, and you lose the glory of it. Amen? Because God said to give them the glory which Jesus Christ had seen from before man was created. He saw a glory with God. He and God sat down and they looked into the oracle. I don't know what else to call it. That's a bad word. They looked into the future and they saw man. And they saw glory. And in the 17th chapter of John, Jesus prayed to the Father and said, now, Father, give me that glory which you and I had from before the foundation of the world. And to my great surprise, in verse 22, he said, and I give them the glory which thou givest me. So we do have the glory of Almighty God. And all we need is a transfiguration to get that glory out of this beam shining forth of the earth. God said we'll be brighter than the sun. Now, in this 22nd chapter here, in verse 3, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And as I said the other night, these are not natural farms, not natural merchandise God is talking about. God is talking about people looking after earthly things. God is talking about people using God's sheep as the farm animals. Do you know what I heard preached by one of our great ministries? Preached and people accepted, said amen, hallelujah, that's true. But as a matter of fact, somebody said to the great revelation that you are sheep and that you should be fleeced at certain times of the year. Amen. You might all remember seeing that in print. Or one of these great preachers and teachers said that the people must be fleeced at certain times of the year, and that he was taking an offering and he was, you know, actually cutting off their wool to get them light. And amen. So talking about farm, you need to know that a shepherd keeps a farm. And this is what God's talking about, the false shepherd. I say, I'm too involved with my church people and my sheep. Not God's sheep anymore, you know. My sheep. Amen. I'm too involved with my sheep. So I can't have any time to come to your wedding feast. Hallelujah. And then the merchant dies. You turn around to Revelation 17, 18 there. And the last part of it says they buy, after talking about these merchandise of silver and gold and whatnot, he said, and chief, verse 13, the latter part of verse 13, the second line, and sheep from the bottom, verse 13, and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. That was their merchandise. They were buying and selling men's souls, bartering with people's lives. Amen. Do you know, I know many have died. They had a doctrine. A man came in and he would see little bodies like this, and he marched right in and split the bodies, tear them up, and take the people off to the wilderness, frighten some of them and get them off, take them away to his farms in Canada and in South America and all over. And many people died, physically died. Some died spiritually, because they were actually taking them away from their husbands and giving them other husbands. Well, yes, that's happening right now. But you see, you are sheltered. You don't know too much about these things. You get involved by traveling around into these various areas. And so you see that men do trade with men's lives and trade with men's souls spiritually. And praise be to God, God is bringing an army. Let's go to Ezekiel and have a look at that army, because tonight we want to talk about a marching army. What chapter in Ezekiel that army is? Can you remember? Dry bones? Yes. That's 37. Praise God. See? And here God is speaking. Said, verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. God's calling the dry bones now together, putting them together, putting flesh upon them. This is what God's doing. Many of us had no use 2 years ago. We were nothing but dry bones in the valley, ready for destruction. We were ripe for destruction. God Almighty called us up unto himself. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now praise be to God. I can remember, you know, how many, just some years ago, when I looked at the youth of America, I looked at what was happening in the colleges. In the colleges, they were being taught communism, revolutionary tactics. They were being taught everything apart from what you sent them to college for. And praise be to God, they were being given drugs. And apart from drug addicts, there were Satanists working in every college to get groups of young people involved in Satan worship. And I said, my God, it seems that the whole nation of youth will be destroyed. And God said no. And God said no. And God intervened in the drug scene. God intervened in the Satanist movement. And God brought some people out of drugs, into Christ. Right inside. I know many men who have the testimony that they were on a trip when they met Jesus Christ. And he turned them back and they got sober. Amen. We met some who we rebuked the drugs out of them and they got sober same time and get off the drugs and they were mainliners. And that was their only hope. See? And this, we see God bringing people, because most of those young guys, had they gone into the system, it would be worse than drugs. They would never turn to God. If they had gone and got big jobs and become executives and the leaders of business and begin money flowing into their hands and they begin to love that green thing, they would never turn to God. So blessed be to God, we see God allowing the devil to have his way and reaching over and touching his people way down there, dry bones in the valley, calling them to a mighty army. Hallelujah. And, you know, this word breath in the Hebrew here, it really means the spirit. And so, so I prophesied, verse 10, as he commanded. Let's read verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come forth. The four winds, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Therefore, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Hallelujah. And when I think of the glory of what God is saying here, it makes my soul leap for joy, you know, to know that people like we who were dead and undone, I was sitting down there with a gun, ready to take my life. Jesus Christ came into the room and showed me a better way. I said, my God, if I had known this, I'd have come long ago. Amen. You know, but God knew my heart that all I wanted, that I hated this world, I just hated everything in the system, hated the world completely. I see, many young men are jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. They're having a record influx of guys jumping off the bridge, killing themselves. I just wonder if God wouldn't send some servants to stay, keep duty on the bridge, to catch a few of them, turn them back. Since your life has no use, you might as well give it to me. Amen. You know. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I said, well, I have nothing, so I give you what is yours. I didn't care anymore whether I live or die. Some people thought that, you know, if they did certain things, they would die. But I didn't care whether I lived or died. So I went out a desperado for God. Walking on the streets, going through every kind of
nothing, night and day. He didn't care about food or clothes or anything.
Yes, God. God, Christ speaks, therefore, to take up the dry bones and to make an army. Now, I want you to notice something. I want us to go into Joshua. And Joshua chapter 1. Because we're going to see how God wants us to march into the promises and keep marching. Before we go into Joshua, let me show you something here that God showed us, revealed to us, that Israel had elders, but when they were going into the land, into battle, God changed the whole situation, and he put Israel on the tens, and on the hundreds, and on the thousands. And that was a different formation from the formation that was under the elders, because it was the elders and the head of the household. But he had, like Moses on the top, no, God on the top, and then Moses, and then he had captains of 1,000, and he had under the captains of 100, and he had under that captains of 10. And when the captain of 10 had a problem that he couldn't solve, he would call for the captain of his 100. For this captain here, who was over this 100, had 10 captains under him. And when this captain of the 100 couldn't solve the problem, he would call for his captain of 1,000, who had 700 captains under him. He in turn had 10 captains under him. And this is how Israel moved across Jordan, in a formation of an army. And God is saying that in this hour, he is raising up an army who will be absolutely obedient to the head through the ministry that he has ordained. And so we see in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, every place, listen to the promise, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall no not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Brethren, I am one of those who had been very discouraged with the church, with the moving of the body of Christ, because I have seen the men falling over and tumbling down, big men, the men who were apparently the strongest. And I said, oh Lord God, are we going to be destroyed completely? Is there no hope for us? Why no man can stand? And God said a word to me, and it comforted my soul, and I'm going to tell you what he told me. He said, my son, you are looking in the wrong direction. He said, you are looking at these big men who have exalted themselves and set themselves up as leaders of this people. And for a while, God will allow them to continue, for they bring a certain blessing to the people. But he said, I have a people who are the little people that you don't know. And these are the people that will win the victory. And blessed be to God Almighty, I stopped seeking crowds. From that day, I stopped seeking crowds. God said, go to poor people, and I left 500 miles travel to poor people. One day we traveled 700 miles to two people. Just two people bottled up and battled in their homes. And when we spoke to them about the Lord, we found out that their lives were just about cracking wide open. That devil had hit them so hard that there was death right in the house. And God sent us to those two people. Had we not obeyed, we'd have lost two of our best friends. The God Almighty needs people who love God and who love his people and who will give their lives to take the message to his people and who are not looking for a salary. Because there are people who say they have a message, but they have the message, yes, along with the green thing, the money, the greenback. See, the message goes along with the greenback. But thanks be to God, God has delivered us. And some of you, I can see you are of like mind that God will use you without reserve. Don't think of what you shall eat or what you shall drink, for the army of God is roaring power. And you know, it's something mighty, something wonderful to see. And I want you just to look with me. Look at a commander. And this commander has his intelligence coming in. And they are looking at the enemy. He has the enemy pinpointed. Every move the enemy makes, he knows where the enemy is moving. And you have a little platoon of men. And you are in some dark wooded bush area in hard circumstances, in cold and in privation. What am I doing here? Hallelujah. But the commander has you on his charge. Amen. And he wants you to stay there and lie low and obey. Amen. And when things begin to happen and you get the order to move, you realize that you were right in the front of the enemy. You were right there and spot to strike in position. Because the commander knows best. Never complain of your lot. Never complain of where God puts you. We are participating in a massive battle. Let me tell you a little thing. I'm going to tell you a spiritual thing now. Something that God revealed to me. This can only come by spiritual revelation. I just sometimes wondered how ineffective our what we're doing is, you know. You didn't see the fruit, you didn't see so and so. And the God began to show me what happened. He said that, have you ever at times somebody just come to your mind? Somebody just come right to your mind or in your dream. Like for the last three nights, I've been dreaming about a man that I've seen like maybe 10 years ago, I haven't seen him. I just start dreaming about him for three nights. Amen. What is the meaning of it? The meaning is that the man is in trouble and is crying out to God for help, that he has defiled his sanctuary, he has no way to help himself, and that the angels of God are coming to you and pleading with you to send some help to him. He said, but for me, what help can I send? Listen, brethren. No angel, now I want you to hear this, no angel can lift a finger against an angel of the devil unless he gets the authority to do it. He's going to get that authority from the church. Did you know that? That angel is going to get the authority from the church. This is why you have guardian angels around you.
And your guardian angel will work for you if you remain at a certain level and at a certain place in the spirit. If you go fail and you go down into devil's territory, you get into Satan's jurisdiction. Do you know that Satan is king? Satan is king, but not in here. Satan is king somewhere out there. Those who are in the realm of the flesh are walking in the devil's territory. And sometimes a person falls right down into the dark. And the only way God can help him is to come and call somebody who knew him. Call a Christian somewhere. Send some life. Send some power. And according to the magnitude of the power and the request that you give for it, according to that magnitude, he receives the deliverance. You have the power to set free, and you have the power to bind. Amen. And we need to serve God consciously. When a person comes to you, when we leave here, if we come to you, send forth life. Send forth life in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the angels will hear you, and they'll rush off and bring additional help to us, whatever situation we are in. And this is how the body become one. Jesus Christ said, God, Father, I pray that they may be one, even as you and I are one. What? You know how God is one? You know what is in your life that tells you directly and exactly how God is one? That this brother is spirit, soul, and body sitting down before me here. I can't see spirit, I can't see soul, but I know he's one person, but he's three in one. And Almighty God is one, and God is saying that you and I can be one in the same way. How can we be one in the same way? We can belong to the body of Christ. Therefore, we are one body. Hallelujah. We can belong to the order of the Spirit. That is, we are under the same commander. And we are in one army. We are in one army. But if God says, go, you go. God says, stay, pull back, you pull back. And so the whole situation is bordering at this time upon a situation of warfare and victory ahead. And God is speaking to us to be one in the Spirit, because we do not know the full mind of the Spirit. We will know the mind of the Spirit for us now, and the mind of the Spirit will be revealed gradually to us as we get our orders. But we must be ready and in the position to move and to do as the Lord leads us, because we are in one great big organism. You hear me? Not an organization, but we are part of a mighty organism that's gaining power in the earth and moving towards a point of victory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is what we are seeing. Now, the beauty of this passage is that God spoke to Joshua, and he said, now every place that the sole of your feet tread upon will be yours for possession. Amen? Now, we come here, remember the tabernacle is like this, tabernacle like that. Here is Egypt. Here is wilderness, and here is Canaan, and here is possession. So you see, after you get in Canaan, you have to fight for your possession. So God said to Joshua, he said, if you walk through that land, if you walk through that land, the land will belong to you. That every place that the sole of your feet tread upon will be yours, your property, your taking. What is he talking about? Amen? I'll tell you what he's talking about. God called Abraham.
And Abraham turned around to God after God had given him all the promise. He said, look to the east. He said, look to the west. Look to the north. Look to the south. He said, all this land is yours. As far as the eye can see, it is for you and your children. And your children will be as the stars of the stars of the heavens for number, and as the sands of the seashore. And I can see Brother Abraham rubbing his beard. You know what he saw? He saw that what God was saying to him, God was showing him a natural land, and God wasn't talking about a natural promise. You know why? Abraham knew instinctively that if his children were as the sand of the seashore, they couldn't live in that land. Amen. So, the Bible says, the 11th chapter of Hebrews says, he said, and Abraham did not stumble at the promise. Hallelujah! If Abraham had taken that, boy, I'm rich, I got another land, you know, land, grass, animals, you know, his heart would go after the natural things like Lot. But Abraham didn't stumble at that. He was too spiritually intelligent, too spiritually wise to stumble at the promise. And God says, I'm going to give you $1 million. And he say, oh, I got it made. That didn't bother him. Amen. The Bible said he rejected the natural promise. And he sought for a city whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah! He sought for a city whose builder and maker is God. I don't want the natural Jerusalem, he said. I don't want this carnality down here. I am looking for heavenly riches. And God called him his friend. God called him one day, only son. Only son. God give you a son. And he said, this son is going to be the one who is Jesus Christ, the great Yahshua, will come out of his side. This man will bring forth Jesus to the earth, the deliverer. Amen. That's just the greatest promise that any human being could ever have in the natural. And then God said, kill him. Blessed be the God, I think Brother Abraham felt that out of the very ashes, out of the very ashes of Isaac, the Christ was going to rise up. Hallelujah. And so he said, all right, God. Contemplated a long time, you know, and I think something happened inside here. He gave up Isaac. He gave up his beautiful, cuddly boy. Gave him up. All right, God, you want him, I'm going to kill him. And he took him up on the mountain. The boy turned to him and said, Father, I have seen the wood. You know, I see the fire. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham prophesied at that moment. It's not exactly as you read it in your Bible. In the Hebrew, it says, God himself has provided himself to be the Lamb. That's the understanding I get from it in looking at it in Hebrew. God himself is the Lamb, not Christ. And so when he was about to kill him, the angel stopped him, lay not thy hand upon the Lamb. God has provided himself a lamb. And when he looked behind him, there was none there when he went there. When he looked behind him, he saw the Christ with the shape of a ram caught in the thicket. And he killed the ram. Hallelujah. Blessed be to God. Then God called him and began to speak to him. You know what God said to him? Said, Abraham, now I know you. That at that moment of lifting that knife,
His soul was rid of the carnality of wanting that boy as his own. And he gave him up. And the work was done within him. And Jesus said, "Don't worry, kid." Thank you, Jesus, that we have to walk through every spiritual experience in order to gain these experiences. You cannot gain it by head knowledge. There will be a lot of preaching going on. You will read many books. You will hear many preachers. But you will never have the fortitude in your soul until you walk through it. I'm going to draw a peculiar picture here for you. And this picture is the picture presented in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 says that there were 10 virgins, but 5 of the virgins were wise and 5 were foolish. All Bible students agree that virgins cannot mean sinners. It must mean church, and not any wishy-washy church. It must mean people who are serving God in righteousness. They were well-clad. They were well-dressed. And so these 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, they had everything in common except one thing. The 5 wise had lamps and oil. The 5 foolish had vessels. The 5 wise had vessels and oil in vessels. The 5 foolish had lamps and oil in the lamps, and they had vessels and no oil. One little difference. Now, I went to the Lord to inquire, what is that difference that makes such a difference? And why didn't the difference make a difference before it was midnight? Why didn't the difference show up before it was midnight? Then the Lord began to deal with me on what midnight really is. Midnight is just the darkest part of the night on earth. He said, "Darkness shall cover the land, and gross darkness the people." And so, at the darkest part of the night, that's the time you need light most. Amen. And that's the time that these people's light fails. So I went to God, and he showed me a scripture in Proverbs 20. Find that for me, brother. Proverbs 20 and 27 verse. And it says here, yes, read it for me, brother. Praise God. Now, that translation says candle. The word is lampas. It's really lamp. You know, they call it the candlestick, but it's really the lampstand. You see, it doesn't hold a candle, it's a lamp. So, the lamp then is the spirit of man. And when the spirit of man is lighted of God, it has a power to search through the soul of man, which is the vessel. Are you with me? The spirit of man is the lamp, and the soul of man is the vessel. Now look at the condition of the wise virgin. They had oil in their lamp and oil in their vessel. That means they had the spirit of God in their spirit and in their soul. They also had the spirit of Christ. That is, they had a fortitude that when darkness descends upon you, You can be rescued. I'll give you an idea of what happened to me. I was in a desperate condition. I don't want to tell the whole story, but I was in a battle with an evil spirit. And this evil spirit was of such a magnitude of power that I had never met anything like that. And he knocked me clean off my feet, standing at the foot of my bed, knocked me, stretched on the bed, and he jumped on top of me and began to choke me, and I began to wrestle in the flesh. automatically, instinctively, something jumped on you like that. You wrestled. You altered the spirit. And if you talk about the roaring lion, this is the kind of thing the devil does to get you out of the spirit. He falls on you suddenly and fights back to get you out of the spirit. And as he did that, I saw Jesus. He came right down in the bed beside me. He touched me like this. Don't struggle. He said, don't struggle. He said, it's not natural, it's spiritual. And as he said so, I relaxed. I know I win the victory already. You know, I just relaxed. And that thing, I can imagine he didn't see Jesus. He was there thinking that he's got to pray. And I just lie down there and give him my throat. And he cut the wind off. And my limbs feel like a ton of lead. And I saw the cross of Jesus rise up right before me. Like I was lying down on the cross. And I saw one drop of blood come down from the right hand. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And I said, that drop could save the whole world. And I saw another drop from the left hand. And I said, Jesus, that drop could conquer every evil demon on earth. And the next drop dropped right in my face. And my whole body convulsed. And I shouted, Jesus! Knocking clean off against the wall over there. And the victory was over. Blessed be the God Almighty. The sorcerer that sent him to me dropped dead. Because you don't know anything about what I'm talking about. You guys don't have to go through that yet. But believe me, you're coming up to it. And the man was dead. The thing was rebuked by the power of God. And I remember the scripture says, we overcome him by the word of a testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. And so I realized that if you don't have a backup, a fortitude in your own soul, if you don't allow the Spirit of God to change your own soul nature, if you don't allow the Spirit of God to plant the Christ in your own soul, you personally become what you read in the Bible. You become what the preacher preaches. You become what you behold out there, the Spirit of God. If you don't allow that, you are in trouble at midnight. When trouble comes on this land, and trouble takes the whole world, and that the world begins to tremble on the brink of midnight. Amen. The only people who will stand are those who have oil in their vessels. They won't get frightened. They won't start running and screaming. They will be on their feet. And this is why the five foolish virgins had to go out into the darkness to seek oil at that late hour. Virgin, I stand before you, and my whole soul, hallelujah, believes that we are at the very verge. I believe that at this year, we are going to see things happen in the church that will alert us. Jesus said, and when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he said, he who read, let him understand. Holy place church is going to be taken by the devil himself. Glory to God, amen. The devil's representative will be sitting there and dictating to you how you must worship. Bless God, I said, the daily sacrifice will be taken away. And I think they're going to touch our worship. Yes, sir. I think they're going to give us liturgies to say. And anybody who won't obey, they're going to try to get you imprisoned and sent to the asylum and whatnot. See? But praise be to God who giveth us the victory. Well, we have the victory already. You better believe it. That we have the victory already. And God has already given us the victory. Get the Christ of God in your soul by spending quiet time
with Jesus inviting him in. Do you know that when you say the Lord's Prayer, you are inviting Jesus to take over your soul? I don't like my mind. I don't like the way I think. I don't like the natural way of thinking, man. I don't like that my emotions, how it would get off the handle sometimes. I despise, I reject my own emotions. I reject my own desires. I reject my own will. I want Jesus to fill all these areas. Thy kingdom come within me. Will you promise me to pray that? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done within me as it is in the heavenly. Oh Lord God, if you're going to come to earth, why don't you come to me first? I will give you this kingdom. This is your kingdom, Lord. Reign, King Jesus, within me. Because you accept Jesus as your Savior, you need to accept him as your Lord and King. And not only accept it, but walk it out. So Jesus, I accept you as my Lord. And the next thing happens, you take away the Lordship and start to your own thing. See what I mean? Jesus, I accept you as Lord. I accept you as King. And I want to see you reign. I want to see you put down every principality and every power within this frame of my body. I control this body and I give it to you. Blessed be the God. Make utterances like this and let the devil hear you. Blessed God Almighty, when you come to service sometime, exercise your power and let the devil hear you. I give you this body and this soul and this spirit. Lord Jesus, you are King of my life. Amen. Oh, Zion, hallelujah. Shout for joy, said the Lord God. For behold, your day cometh, said God. Hallelujah. When nothing shall stand before you, said the Lord God. For I have given you the promised land. Glory to God. Amen. Woo, Jesus. And I see Joshua setting his army in battle array. And walking across Jordan, and the river turned back. The river started going upstream, contrary to nature. You know what God's saying? God is saying that when you begin to operate in the Spirit of God, that your whole life will be contrary to the natural. What you see to be a mountain before you will become a plain. Hallelujah. He said he'll make the rough places plain. And the mountains will become like level country for you. Blessed be to God. And Joshua said, and a record in the Bible, that the river backed up far beyond where? The city of Adam. Read it again for yourself. The river backed up far beyond the city of Adam. And let me tell you, brethren, your Adamic nature is nothing but a figment of your own imagination. Some people have their nature running them all over the place, telling them what to do. Your nature, your Adamic nature, is only a figment of our own imagination. Amen. God is teaching us how to overcome all things. We're going to overcome even hunger, thirst, sleep. God, when it is necessary now. Come on now. Don't go away and stop sleeping and stop doing this, because I know some people did it. But I end up in the hospital. Chained up a knot and a swallow of camels. But we are coming to the place where God will make us into superhumans. Even as it is necessary, when men face you and they believe they are dealing with a little human thing. Oh, I'll do him like I do to all the rest, you know. Blessed be to God Almighty. They shall come up against the army of God. For indeed and in fact, God is recruiting an army to move forth in this hour unto victory. No turning back. You know, there were times when men moved forth and they turned back. But blessed be to God, I'm glad to be alive at this time, brother. I'm glad to be alive at this time, a time when there's no turning back, when God is calling his people to go forth. This is 1977. despite a bad calendar we have, and we know that we have the Jewish calendar telling us that it's 1980 something or 1998. That's what the Jewish calendar is telling us. Our calendar is made by the Roman Catholic priest. Amen. The same man who gave us Sunday and said it's a Sabbath day to worship on. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't believe that, don't you? You don't believe the calendar you got. What do you use it for say, you know, of using it. But you don't believe, amen. You don't believe that today is Wednesday, do you? Amen. You know, praise God. They call these names by the name of their God. You know, they call these names by the name of their God. On Wednesday, you're supposed to be worshiping the God of marriage. The most people marry in the marry on a Wednesday because it's Wednesday. They're worshiping the God of marriage. But we're not in that. You notice when the Bible speak about the days, they speak about the first day of the week and the seventh day of the week. They don't fool around with speaking Roman language. But bless God, it's not going to kill us. We've been in it too long. And we know now that, hallelujah, Rome is at the end, the toes of the image. And we know now that the stone cut out of the mountain is going to smite that image and destroy it. So, bless God, thank God, we are part of that stone. Amen. Part of that stone, Peter's confession. Amen. Peter's confession. And so we are part of the Peter's stone that is going to smite the image and destroy it completely and pound it. And the Holy Ghost is right behind to blow them away. Praise be to God. And so Joshua crossed Jordan. But something very sad happened to the brethren who were lazy. You know, can you imagine, brethren, for 40 years you've been getting your food dropped from the sky. Come on now. Your shoes never wear off for 40 years. Your shoes bottom grow. The shoe bottom was growing as they walk and tramp it, it grew back. And the same amount of shoes was on the bottom from the left Egypt for 40 years. The shoes continued never wear off. The clothes got newer every day. No cleaners. They didn't have any cleaners out there to clean the coats and the clothes. And yet they weren't smelly. I believe God was perfuming them. He's just fumigating the whole of Israel, keeping them nice smelling and keeping them going on. God's army. The Bible said their clothes never wore out. It never grew old. That clothes look new every morning. You get up, you see a new coat on your old coat. And it was just new every day. Lord help us. The day they entered the promised land, the food stopped coming down from the sky. No more free food. My Lord, you have to go work now. Can you imagine how hard it was for them? No more free food. No shoes start wear out. Clothes start get old. You're going to have to make your own clothes. You have to build your own house now. It was a real, a new life that the people had entered into the spirit land, into the promise of God, and they were now matured enough, hallelujah, to command the blessing. You commanded little blessing, you had little. You commanded much blessing, you had much. And so we look at the Christian world, and this is what we see. People who are swapping spiritual blessing for natural blessing. A guy comes and he preaches and he said, I'm going to preach to you prosperity. He said, brother, if you want $1,000, all you have to do is give me 100. All you have to do is just give me 100 and you get 1,000. And he said, here it is in the Bible. He said, yes, you will prosper. God will prosper you. And so the people become carnal, fleshy, and covetous, greedy, like you're doing gambling. You go and you put down your money and you hope to break the whole bank. This is the spirit of the present day Christian. A gambler, he's going to give the preacher so much to get so much. And did it work? it worked for many of them. Because, you see, God put his principles down there. And he just stand one side and laugh at you. Because, you see, if you know that, you can put down $100, give the preacher $100, and you will get back $1,000, and it worked for you. At least you should have enough spiritual sense to say, if I do that in the natural, why not in the spiritual? Let me give God 5 minutes. Let me invest with God. Instead of going to work tonight, I let me pray all night. And let me see what I get back. Since you're a calculator, right? But these people calculate one way. And therefore, the false shepherds, they get rich. And they get their paid now. They're not getting any more paid. They get paid off. You see, God sit down and allow them to get paid off. And they do some good to God's people. But praise be to God. We are thanking God that the name Joshua is the name of Jesus. Do you know who wrote the first word, first wrote Jesus? I wonder if some Bible student would tell me who first wrote Jesus in the Bible. Who wrote the word Jesus? Pilate said, write his name in three languages. In Greek, in Latin, and in Hebrew. In Hebrew, he was Yahshua. In Greek, Histos, Hesus, and in Hesus, he writes G-T-A-S-U-S, Latin. And they call him Jesus. You see, in our English way of saying it, Jesus, in Spanish and in Latin, Jesus, and whatever. But the Greek they wrote for Jesus, I wondered to myself, many times I wonder, why did they ever translate his name? You know, it's like your name is John, and, you know, you go down there and they call you Wong. And instead of saying John, you know, or something like that. But it went like that, that this man first wrote his name Jesus. And the man who had the name of Jesus, Joshua, who can tell me what tribe he was from? No, Joshua was from Ephraim, First Fruit Company. It is the First Fruit Company that's going to lead the children of Israel over Jordan. Then his second in command was Caleb. Caleb was a Judah. He was of the tribe of Judah. Caleb was a tribe of Judah. And you know what? Caleb was the first man and the only man to get his possession and settle in. You see that? Jesus, the tribe of Judah, was the first to get the possession. But it's Ephraim, the first fruits company, that's going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, let's close here. He went to the promised land, and the first city they come up against, right up against them, standing right in their pathway, was Jericho. And there was a massive high wall. Imagine, people, they have no artillery. At least none that the enemy could see. They have no artillery. They have no battering rams. Nothing to knock down big walls. And yet the people behind the wall started trembling. The people behind the wall started trembling. Because they heard of what they did to Pharaoh. They heard of what they did in their march across the wilderness. And the whole country was trembling because these people are coming to take their land. Blessed be to God. First trumpet. Sound the trumpet. Marching in perfect order. Captains of 10. Captains of 100. Captains of 1,000. Marching around the wall. Perfect order. You know, it's a peculiar thing. But why didn't those fellows shoot at them?
The scripture never mentioned one Israelite get killed. That people were so frightened they couldn't fire a shot off that wall. What are they doing? Watching them marching and singing the songs of Israel. Blow their trumpet.
And when the seventh trumpet comes, this is what I want to show you, brethren. Listen, brethren. We're about to hear the sixth trumpet blow. We're about to hear the sixth trumpet blow. The fifth trumpet called us to prepare ourselves for the destruction that is to come. And he said he gave some white robes. And he said, wait until those others of your brethren be killed, as you were. So now is a period of time that we are preparing. We are under preparation. You hear me? The fourth trumpet was blown like 30 years ago when the atom bomb first was blasted in the earth, when the Bible said man was given over to death and hell. Before the atom bomb, before atomic warfare, man had no power to destroy the earth. Did you know that? No matter how big a war machine that we had, the conventional war could not destroy every living thing on the face of the earth. Jesus said it. But he said that the time would come when, unless God intervened for the elect's sake, all life on earth would perish. Remember that? Matthew 24, verse 22. And so, when the world was given over to death and hell, when the fourth trumpet was blown, the fourth seal was opened, this is the time. And then we come on now to the fifth seal, and this is where we are. And the sixth seal is the next thing that's going to erupt in the earth, a great earthquake, not a natural earthquake, but earth, man, nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. This is what is next to come. I believe that the sign that we're looking for, the church now is looking for, is, I want you to be very attentive here, the sign we are looking for is the abomination to be set up. He said, when you see that, then get up into the mountain. Spiritually speaking, we must rise. Begin to fast and pray. Begin to move up. Forget all the world things. Just start looking all onward to God. Now, I am subject to correction, but I believe that this abomination will be set up this year in the holy place. I believe that the Pentecostal church, and the tongue-speaking people, and all those who are not hearing from God, right? Those who are not under the headship of Jesus Christ, but under man headship, following man, that they are going to give their power to the beast. That the Catholic Church is going to take them over. Either in one way or another, it's going to take some time after the agreement. Already the Church of England has made agreement that they will be one with the Catholic Church and that the Pope will be the head. Whenever you make such an agreement, you have denied God. You've got another head beside Jesus. And I believe that this year this will be done. Praise God. Now, as to when, you know, how it will develop after that, I don't know how fast or how slow, but I know that the beast, the Antichrist, will be taking over. The scripture said that by violent means, that the little horn is going to come up and pluck up three of the horns and take their places. I figure they're going to have some infighting in the wrestling to get control of the churches. I understand, brethren. Now, this is not revelation. I heard so. That the Satanists, and I heard from good sources, that the Satanists are planning to plant a Satanist in the popery by whatever means of revolution. They want to kill the Pope and take over. That's what I heard. Now, I don't know how true that is. But I know that Satan is bombarding them from all angles, and he feels sure he's going to get the highest position. All he wants to see them is to come together, and then he takes over. There is no doubt
that groups like this won't be in that. And there is no doubt that the people of God will flee out of those systems like scared rabbits. You better prepare your barns to take them in. For there are a lot who will be running frightened from the system. And there are a lot who will be persecuted because they want to leave too late. You hear me? Revelation 18 verse 4 says, come out of her, my people, because she's taken by devils. That's it. Hallelujah. And so, Joshua, the seventh trumpet blew. And when the seventh trumpet blew, the impossible happened. The walls of Jericho were bombed by God. Let me tell you something. If that thing didn't explode, the men couldn't even climb over the heap of rubble the way it was high. God said, just turn your face to it and head straight in wherever you are. And so they came in by faith. The walls, actually, the archaeologists that go there digging up where Jericho was claimed, that they found that the thing was rooted out like with an explosion. And I think the wall just blew in on them. Children of God had a victory. Praise God. God bless you. So glad to be with you and have the privilege of giving you the word of the Lord. Look forward to more fellowship in the future.